Tonight, we've been doing, for weeks, we've been doing the study on the apostles. We finished that up last Sunday night with the last lesson on the Apostle Paul. I said we could just keep on going just on Paul's life. He had three different missionary journeys that we could travel from place to place. And I may work on that, but to do that, I want to get some overheads where we can see where he is and maybe make it a little bit more understandable when we start reading about places. But tonight I want us to go back to the book of Leviticus in the Old Testament. This is a book that we do not read much out of, the book of Leviticus, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. In this book we find God giving the different laws to the Jewish people. We find the Lord giving them the regulations concerning their worship. And to say the least, the worship of the Jew is far different than the worship of the Gentile. And what the Lord told the Jew in these early years of the forming together of the nation of Israel was to give them some understanding as time was to progress, how that one day there would be a Messiah, that one day there would be a salvation that would be offered from the Lord. And everything in the Old Testament, especially Genesis and Leviticus and these Old Testament first five books, as God laid down the law of Moses and God gave to them the different ways of doing, it seems odd to us. It seems strange to us. We are Gentile people. We are not under these things, never have been, and we never will be. But the Lord picked out a man called Abraham, and out of Abraham, God made a nation. And that nation was to be a peculiar people. Now, there are some similarities between the Jew and the church, but they're not the same. Never can make it the same. There are similarities. As they were peculiar in this world, so are we to be. But God gave the Jews a particular set of rules and an order of not only just worship, but an order of daily life. And he gave them these things that as time was to progress, they would recognize that God was dealing in their life to bring them to the Messiah. And it's an unfolding drama. It's an unfolding story of how God picked out Abraham. He chose him out of Ur of the Chaldees, and God gave him a message, told him where to go, and Abraham listened. And then all the way through the Old Testament, we see the Lord building a nation and giving them peculiar traits and peculiarities. And they had their problems, they had their sins, they had their sicknesses, they had their diseases. And the Lord gave them regulations and things that helped them throughout all their life. Tonight we're going to be looking in Leviticus chapter number 13 and chapter number 14. And we're going to be dealing with this thing of leprosy. Now this is a disease that is still very active even in our modern society. There are leper colonies around the world. There are those that still are infected with this disease. And as the Lord gave them some regulations, some stipulations on how to handle this disease, for if they had not done what the Lord told them to do, leprosy could have wiped out the entire nation. Leprosy could have destroyed the Jew. And as we read the Scripture in different places and in the New Testament, we find that leprosy is a type. Everything in the Old Testament is a type of something that we can look to in the New Testament. Leprosy is a type of sin. And sin left unchecked, sin left to itself, will destroy an entire people. It will destroy a nation. It will destroy a family. It will destroy an individual and spread to others. And so tonight we're going to be looking at this dreaded disease of leprosy and how the Lord gave them instruction on how to handle people that had leprosy, from the putting them aside and even to the cleansing and the curing of this disease called leprosy. So let's read a few verses here in Leviticus chapter 13. Again, these are verses that we do not study a lot, and so they're maybe unfamiliar to us, but it's a really tonight what it is, it's going to be a picture of salvation. And by using this disease of leprosy, which is a picture or type of sin. Leviticus 13, verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, When a man shall have in the skin of his flesh arising a scab or a bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons the priest, and the priest shall look upon the plague of the skin of the flesh, and when the hair of the skin of the flesh, and when the hair of the plague is turned white, and the plague in the sight is deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy. And the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. Now turn over just a page probably to verse number 45. Verse 45. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, Unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone without the camp, and shall his habitation be. Now turn to chapter 14 and verse number 1. The Lord spake to Moses, saying, This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper. Then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds, alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running with water. For the living bird he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them into the living bird in the blood of the bird that is was killed over running water, and he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the bird, living bird, loose into the open field. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, shave off all of his hair, wash himself in water, that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp, and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. Now here we have the simple instructions. We didn't read all the verses in between, but trying to get a view of what's taking place, we have the scripture giving us what is to be done when a person was found to have leprosy. Now leprosy in the Bible was a very serious disease. It's still a very serious disease even today. Leprosy is a disease that man cannot find a cure. No one really has ever been cured from leprosy outside of a miracle from the Lord. Here we find that the leper was to be treated as if he was dead. The scripture tells us that if a man has a sorrow in his heart because of someone that has died, he is to rip his clothes, he's to have his head shorn. We find that all those picture the type of what takes place when there's a death in the family, showing a great mourning or a great time of sorrow. And the Jewish people and the Eastern world people are very expressive in what they do when there's sorrow in their heart. If you'll watch on the news, sometimes those men that are and those folks at the Wailing Wall, they are there beating their chest, and they are there expressing the sorrow of their heart, and they're at that wall and they're just continually mourning. And so the Middle Eastern world and the world, even much more expressive of sorrow in their life than we in America. We cry, we weep, but we do not do all the things that that they do. Even when a few years ago I went to a gypsy funeral, and they're very expressive and very mournful of a person that has died and the sorrow that's in their heart, and they express it much differently than we do. And so we find here that this person that has been declared to have leprosy, he is to go outside the camp, he's to go outside the city, and there he is banished because he cannot enter into where people are, and he is treated as one that is not only unclean, but he is treated as one that is dead and has no life. And so this disease had come in the days of the custom of the mourning for the dead. They were to tear their clothing and their chest, to be beat upon, to express a broken heart. They were to go bareheaded and with their hair in disorder and put a covering upon their mouth because of the sorrow that was in their heart. And that was an outward expression. Everybody knew they were in mourning. And this is what was told here that they were to do if they were considered to be a leper. We find that a leper was considered to be just as good as a dead person. In the mind of the Jew around, if a person was a leper, they knew he was going to die. Without something happening miraculously in their life, he was just as good as dead. So that's why they had to go through some of these things. Now there are some accounts in the scripture of folks that had leprosy and were healed. The Bible tells us that Moses and Aaron's sister, Miriam, she became a leper because she spoke against Moses one time. And Aaron, the high priest, her brother, had to pronounce her, his own sister, as a leper and unclean. We find here that she had her dress torn and her hair was shaved, her mouth was covered, and she was put outside the camp. They prayed for her, and the Lord restored her, and she had to be outside the camp saying, "Unclean, unclean," like all the other lepers of that day. Now, as we look at this, we see why that we understand that leprosy is a type of sin. Leprosy is a type of what works in our life. And because of sin, we are unclean. Because of sin, there's no hope for us. There's no way of escape unless a miraculous thing happens to us. A miraculous cleansing. We understand we call it salvation. And so leprosy is that Old Testament occurrence that points us to the point or to the place where that we are just as good as what? As dead outside of Christ. We are dead, the Bible says, in sins and trespasses. We have no hope, we have no life, we have nothing in this life. And the Bible, Paul says that we are in this life most miserable, and we have nothing in the life of the time that is to come. And it's all because of sin. Now, Miriam, even though she was the sister of Moses and Aaron, she was no different than anybody else. It didn't matter who you were. If you contacted leprosy, you were just with the whole crowd of lepers. And that's what sin does for all of us. We're all just alike. Under, outside, and away from the grace of God, we are all just alike. And you'll find that Miriam had no way of cleaning herself up. If it was going to happen, God had to do it. And salvation is the same thing. There's no way that we can clean ourselves up. Now, there's a lot of religions that try to do that. There's a lot of churches that try to tell you you can clean yourself up, or you can, hopefully your good works will outweigh your bad works, and then when you get the judgment and put on the scales of balance, and then you just pray that that those works will outweigh the bad. Well, they'll never work that way. Salvation is not given because of those kind of works. And we can't clean ourselves up. We can't make ourselves righteous. We can't make ourselves holy. We are like a leper. We are dead in sins and trespasses, having no hope in the world to come without a miraculous event occurring in our life and what the Bible calls salvation. And so tonight we look upon this subject of leprosy. And see how it points not only to sin, but points to a salvation that is pictured here. I believe as we read these things, we'll notice a little bit more along that line. Let's notice some things about leprosy. In verse number 2 of Leviticus chapter 13, it says, "When a man shall have in his skin of his flesh a rising, a scab or a bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto the one of his sons the priest." Here we find there is the sign of leprosy. There is that indication that leprosy is there. It may be seemingly insignificant at the beginning. It seems as though it's just a little sign, but that sign indicates a very serious condition. You'll notice here it says, "When a man shall have in the skin of his flesh," that's just on the top side of his flesh, "a rising or a scab," or the Bible says here, "a bright spot." It doesn't look too bad. It doesn't look too harmful. But it's an indication that there's something going on deeper than just on the skin. And I'll tell you what, this thing of sin is more than just what we see with our eyes. It's more than just the result of it. It's more than just the indication that there's a little bit of something wrong with people. But it shows us that there is a deep-seated problem of a sin in the life of an individual that if God doesn't come along and do something for him or her, he or she is going to die without God and without hope. And so the signs of leprosy seemingly are insignificant in the beginning, yet these signs indicate a very serious condition, the rising scab, the bright spot. But under the scrutinizing eye of the high priest, he could understand and he knew that what was working on that skin had a fatal, it was a fatal disease, and it would bring about death to an individual. Sin begins as a small outward thing, maybe in our lives, manifested in doing something small. It might be stealing a piece of candy as a child. It might be an outburst of anger that's uncontrollable. Those are just little things sometimes that we see, but if it's left uncared for, then it's going to find itself a deep-seated sin in an individual as they grow and as they mature in life. The sign of it is something small, it's something little, but if it's left alone, that's why we have to train our children. Somebody says, "Well, when my child gets about 10 years old, then I'm going to tell them what they should and should not do. Until then, I'm just going to love them." Well, if you wait that long, you've waited too long. And so you've got to take care of things early when you first see it, that little thing. Somebody said the other day, "Sure don't have to teach them to do wrong. That's just the nature." Don't have to teach children to cry when they're not hurting. You don't have to teach children to tell little things that are not exactly true to get themselves out of trouble. Those things just are part of our nature, but it shows maybe something that we think is cute for a while, but later on it shows a deep-seated sin nature of our life that we are totally against the Lord and against the things of God. And so here we see the signs of leprosy. But it's not just a sign in the skin, it's something that is seated under the skin. It's something that is far deeper and reaches to the depths even of the soul in our life as a sinner in the sight of God. Verse number 3, it says, "And it be in the skin of his flesh, like the plague of leprosy." It's not just a bright spot. It's not just a rising. It's not just something insignificant, but now it's in the flesh of his skin. And it goes deeper than the outward appearance. And by the way, sin goes deeper than just what we see. It's far, far deeper. The things that we see going on in our world are just the fruits of an evil nature that's within. People live and do the things they do because they're sinners. And they do that because that's their nature. All these evil things come from within that defile the man. The Bible says in the book of Mark chapter 7 and verse number 23. So there's the sign of it, and then there's the seed of it. Our heart is deceitfully wicked. The Bible tells us that we cannot know our heart. That we can't understand about our heart. It is a deceitfully wicked area of our life, and sin has permeated every aspect of life. It doesn't matter how cute our children and grandchildren are, they're still sinners. I remember when Amy was just a little girl, she would do something. I said, "You're just a sinner." Boy, she didn't like that. She said, "I'm not a sinner, Daddy." I said, "Oh, yes, you are. That's what makes us do what we..." And the problem with all of us is that we are sinners. And it's a deep-seated problem. It's not just a fleshly, outward thing. It's in the heart. And only God knows what's in our heart. We don't share everything in our heart with those around us, but God knows what's there. And so there is the seed of leprosy, or the seed of sin that has come upon us. And here in these verses, the Scripture says in verse number 3 that the priest shall look on the plague of the skin of his flesh, his hair, when the hair in the plague is turned white, the plague sight, notice, be deeper than the skin of his flesh. Leprosy wasn't just a rash. It wasn't just something that would come and then put a little ointment on it and it go away, because it wasn't just on the skin. It was in the skin. It was in the deep-seated part of the body, just like sin. And so we see that leprosy is a type in the Old Testament, as a type of a sin that's in the sin nature of man. And we are all guilty before God, and all that has to be done is for the priest to look upon us, and he'll announce that we are unclean. And we know who the priest is. It's not the preacher, it's not Sunday school teacher, but he's God. It's Jesus Christ. He is our high priest. And all he has to do is look upon the life of an individual, and he'll say, "Unclean, unclean." For that sin is more than just a rash on the outside. It's more than just actions of people. Sin is what is deep-seated in the heart and the lives of individuals. Romans chapter 1 tells us that these things come to us. I wasn't going to turn here, I have to remember. Verse number 21, it says, "Because that when they knew not God, they glorified Him not as..." When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain or empty in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fool. And notice here what sin does to people. They changed the glory of an uncorruptible God. Here is a God that is not corrupted. He's a God that's pure. He's a God that's holy. But yet these folks that knew about God and knew of God, but yet they didn't recognize Him as God, all of a sudden they changed an uncorruptible God into corruptible things. And he lists here like images of man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. That's the outside results of what sin takes over in our life. And then the Bible says here, God gave them over to uncleanness through the lust of their flesh. And it says here, they dishonored their own bodies between themselves. Now notice here what else they do because they're sinners. They change the truth of God into a lie. Now whether you recognize it or not, we are living in a generation that we are seeing people change the truth of God into a lie. They're making that which is holy unholy, and it is because of their sinful nature that has never been touched by the grace of God. And they're just running rampant and wild in our country, and sin has overtaken them. And they change the glory of God, and they change the truth of God. These are some of the actions of a leper, a sinner. They change the truth of God into a lie, and they worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. They serve their gods. They serve everything else. And they worship their gods. And we hear about it. We see it all the time. It's not called a god, but this old world, Mother Nature, and all that junk is nothing more than man
worshiping the creature more than the Creator. I said this morning that Jonah lost his pity for people, and one of the results of that, and one of the outstanding things that we can know this is happening in our world, is that we'll cry more over a dog or a cat or an animal that's in danger than we will a baby that's in the womb that's in danger. Changing the truth of God and making it a lie, and never regarding what is God, and worshiping creatures and created things more than the Creator Himself. That's a result of a deep-seated sin nature. And then we see also in our generation another thing that they changed here in verse number 26, Romans 1. And they changed the natural use into that which is against nature. That's the natural use of the body. And our generation, our society calls it homosexuality, and we are being bombarded continually to make that accepted, and just in a little while it will be accepted nationwide. It's not going to be an alternate lifestyle, it's just a lifestyle. And it's protected, will be protected by the laws of the country. And if you say anything against it, then you're guilty of a hate crime. Now that's coming. Already in Canada, I know some preachers that's in jail because they preach Romans chapter 1. And it will come to our country because there's a deep-seated sin in our life and it's gone unchecked. And so they've turned the glory of God. They've changed the truth of God. They changed the natural use of the body. And the Bible says here in verse 28, they did not want to retain God in their knowledge. Got to be politically correct now. There's somewhere in our country, I forget where it was, there was a school that used a church to have their graduation, and somebody sued them because they had a cross in the church. That's the mixing of secular with religious, and we are separating continually. And the Bible says here, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Now that reprobate, that word reprobate means, what's the best way to say it? It means irreparable. It cannot be fixed. You're saying there's some people that can't be fixed? If God turns them over to a reprobate mind, they're gone. Would God do that? God will do that in response to man's wickedness and man's sin and not following after the rule of God. So there's the sign of leprosy. There's the seed of leprosy. Verse 7 of our text and verse 7 of chapter 13. We didn't read it. We find here the spread of it, the stages of it. Verse 7, but if the scab spread much abroad in the skin, after that he hath been seen by the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen of the priest again. There's a spreading of leprosy. It doesn't stay within its confines of its own self. Sin always looks out other sin. Vile affections, immoral actions, deviant ways. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 6 that God looked down upon man and every imagination of the thought of man's heart was only evil continually. And as the days of Noah were, so shall be the coming of the days of the Son of Man. And that's where we are today. Evil continually. The stages of leprosy, it's much spread, rapid, and affects every part of the victim. A leper's hair becomes dry and lifeless. His nails will discolor. His eyes will sink. And his flesh literally rots on the bone. So that's not a very good picture. Sin's not a very good picture. And a leper will lose at the joints, his fingers will fall off. His toes will fall off. They'll literally rot off because of the deep-seated leprosy. And it spreads to every area of the body. And that's why it's in the blood. The life of the flesh, the Bible tells us, is in the blood. And as that blood carries everything in our body to all of our body, then we are totally consumed by it. That's why it's a very serious condition. Do you ever wonder why that every time you go, it doesn't matter what you go to the clinic for, If you go up there for any kind of test, or if you go in the emergency room, first thing they do, you know what they do? They stick that arm out, they put that needle in, and they draw out the blood. And by that blood and the test that they run on the blood, they can tell you if you've had a heart attack. They can tell you if you're having a heart attack. They can tell you if you're going to have a heart attack. They can tell if you're diabetic. They can tell everything about you because of the blood. Sometimes it'd just be wise if people believe the book, because the Bible says that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And when the blood is tainted, when the blood is a disease, then the whole body is affected by that. And that's what leprosy does to an individual. That's what sin does to an individual. And so we find the stages of it. It spreads. Things begin to deteriorate. Verse number 11 of chapter 13. Well, let's look at verse 10 and 11. And the priest shall see him, and behold, if the rising be white in the skin, and it have turned to turned the hair white, and if there be a quick raw flesh in the rising, it is an old leprosy in the skin of the flesh. And the priest shall pronounce him unclean, and shall not shut him up, for he is unclean. Here we find a continual course of the spreading of this leprosy. Oh, but thank God there can be a stop to it. Now, up to this point, has been too much good said about leprosy. Nothing good ever is said about sin. But there is hope. It says in verse number 12, and if the leprosy break out abroad in the skin, and the leper cover all the skin, him that hath the plague from the head even to the foot, wheresoever the priest looketh, then the priest shall consider, and behold, if the leprosy have covered all the flesh, he shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague. It is all turned white. He is clean. When the leper works, and if it works a continual process, you'll be covered from head to toe, and then it turns white, that means you're getting well. And the priest can pronounce you clean. Though your sins be red like crimson, they shall be as white as snow. Isaiah was talking in terms that these Jewish people understood. Though your sins be red, they shall be as white as snow. Though the crimson red is there representing and depicting sin and depicting leprosy, if they turn white, then your cleansing is on the way. And so we have a stopping of leprosy. The leper covered everywhere from head to foot. He was pronounced clean by the priest, and this pictures a sinner who confesses his sin and hopeless condition before God, and God pronounces him as saved by the grace of God. This is a picture not only of sin, but a picture of salvation. Now, here's the good part. In chapter 14, we have the sacrifice for leprosy. In verses 1 through 6, where we read a while ago, sometimes we just read things and it doesn't really catch our attention. But verse number 4 says, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds alive. One of the birds is going to be killed. He tells you here to have water running to kill that bird and catch the blood in that basin of where water is running. And then they have cedar wood, and they have scarlet, and they have hyssop. And this bird that is killed, notice, well, let's just read it. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed as an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over running water, and he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times. Now here's two birds. One is taken, one is killed. His blood is running over into a vessel with running water. Now, if you look up that word running water, it really means living water. A spring water is living water. A pond water is stagnant. It's dead. If you're not careful, if you don't treat your ponds, what happens in the summertime? They get over, got all kind of scuttled. They get dirty, filthy, nasty. But a spring, because it's running, because it's alive, it stays pure, it stays clean. And this bird is taken, and one bird is killed over living, running water. And the other bird is sprinkled with that, and he's let go. What a picture. One day, our Lord Jesus Christ was taken, and he was killed. His blood was shed. But he didn't stay dead. He didn't stay in the tomb. He didn't stay in the grave. He came forth victorious. And he arose, and he flew to his Father. Those birds, those two birds, depict the two works of the Lord Jesus Christ, the death on the cross and the resurrection and ascension to his Father. Another place in the Scripture you'll find that they, and even here, there's a reference to he-goats, or he-lambs, which are goats. But there's another place where that there are two goats taken, and one is killed, and on the other goat, the blood of that killed goat is placed upon him, and it is a sin offering, and the goat that is alive is taken and out to the wilderness, is let go, and is never seen again. You know what that represents? My sins are gone. They're underneath the blood of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says we'll never see them again. They're forgotten. They're removed from the very thought of God. And they're gone forever. And in that Old Testament passage, it talks about those two lambs. One is killed, representing the death of our Savior. And one is let go with the blood of that goat as an offering for sin. He is taken. He's taken to the wilderness. He is to be let go. And he is never seen again. Thank God my sins are gone. Praise the Lord. And so here we see the sacrifice for leprosy. He is brought to the priest in verse number 2. He's meeting outside. And you'll notice that as you read this, the priest has to go where the leper is. I'm glad Jesus came to where I was. I didn't go to where he was. I couldn't pick myself up and do any better. And Jesus came to me. Praise the Lord. And the priest goes out to the leper, wherever he is, or she. And they go through this, and they see that there's a cleansing and a healing. And there's an offering because of the cleansing. The two birds are a double type of Christ. The slain bird speaks of his death for our sins, and the living bird speaks of his resurrection for our justification. You see, everything God puts in this book is for a reason, is for a purpose. And what he did here to these Jewish people was that saying, one day there's somebody going to have to die for your leprosy, for your sin, and he will arise again for your justification. Verse 7 and verse number 8 of chapter 14. And he shall sprinkle upon him, that is, be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times. And now notice here, and shall pronounce him clean. The only person that can pronounce us clean, it's not the preacher, it's not the baptismal pool, it's not church membership, it's not our good works. The only thing that can pronounce us clean is our priest. He that comes where we were in our sin, our mouth covered from head to toe with leprosy, sin all over us, and he comes. And the blood is shed, the blood is applied, and the bird flies away, and we're pronounced clean. That can only happen. We are only cleansed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That blood that was applied to the leper with a swab there, the cedar wood and the hyssop, and hyssop is a type of faith that we have. If you read in the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, you'll find that hyssop was a picture of faith. And this living bird is carried into the heavens, and he takes the blood.
What a picture. My sins are gone. You ask me why I'm happy. I can tell you why. My sins are gone. So sometimes when we're reading through our Bibles, and I know sometimes the reading gets to be a real burden at times, because we're reading a book that is spiritually discerned, and sometimes we're not too spiritual. But just remember, every word we read and every passage that we have is there for a reason. It's not to fill up space and take up time reading. It's there for a purpose. And as dreadful as leprosy was, thank God, as it was a loathsome, defiling disease, picturing sin, but thank the Lord, Jesus came and shed his life's blood that I might go free. And that's exactly what chapter 13 and chapter 14 teach us as believers. My sins are forever gone. They're applied. They're no longer there. My sins have been washed clean. Sometimes we wonder why things happen the way they do and all the directions of this world. It's just because of sin. Why is the world in the condition it's in tonight? It's because of sin. Leprosy has infiltrated the entire human race. Sin has overtaken. Thank God there's a few that where sin abounds, grace does much more than that. Thank God there's a few that the high priest comes down and pronounces us clean. He makes us a new creature in Christ. All things pass away. Everything has become new. Why? Because of what Jesus did for me. The more I study salvation, I'll admit there's some things that there's a lot of things I don't know, and a lot of things I'm looking at and re-looking at. But the more I read about salvation, the more I know without any shadow of a doubt, it is of God and Him alone. And as that priest went to the leper, one day Jesus came to me. And as that priest looked at him, saw that he was covered head to foot, pronounced it clean. And then he gave the offering and the blood as a sacrifice. As the blood would carry away, that bird would carry away the blood from that defiled bird, never to be seen again. Salvation, I'm afraid we've made it. In our generation, I'm afraid we've made it too much of a contest or a joke or something simple, something that just a side action or a side show to the church. It's the main thing. That's why Christ came. He came to die, that the blood might be applied to my life as we believe upon Him. The sin of leprosy, and the sickness of leprosy, and the sin that's in our life, thank God it can be cleansed, but only by the high priest. Only way can be pronounced clean. Unless that happens, we'll have to go through life and say, unclean, unclean. We'll live that way, and we'll die that way. Unless the high priest comes and pronounces us born again. Nicodemus, you're a ruler of the Jews. You know all, you've heard all these things. You don't understand that you have to have this new birth. Why, it's told all the way through the Old Testament. You don't understand that, Nicodemus. You know what Jesus was doing? The high priest was coming where Nicodemus was and explaining to him how to get rid of his leprosy. Same way he did to you and to me one day. He came to us, and now we're born again. We're saved by the grace of God. Let's stand together tonight.